God made you. The designer made you. Your designer, the king of the universe, the creator of all of creation, he's your designer. Well, welcome to another episode of Think Like a Champion. This podcast is dedicated to you, to helping you win in every way and enjoy every day. That's God's will for your life. And if I asked you today, what is your most precious possession? I wonder what some of us would answer. We would probably say our family, others, our finances, our physical health, some treasure that you're holding on to. But if I answered that question the way God created us, our soul is by far the most valuable possession we have. Just as you need to tend to your body to be physically healthy, you have to take care of your soul to be emotionally healthy. And the best living and the best leading comes from a healthy soul. Now, if the soul is the most valuable thing that we possess, well, the reason that I'm talking about this is because most of us are not possessing our soul. Our soul is possessing us, and we need to take back our soul, take back our thoughts, take back our emotional well-being, our emotional health. I was reading something recently that said the secret to happiness is to know that you already start every day with happiness. We just give our happiness away to other people when we allow them to control our emotions, when we allow them to impact and influence our emotions. But there's four things that determine the value of your soul. So maybe you grew up on the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks. Maybe you grew up right on the tracks. However you grew up, every human soul has the same value. Every human soul is equally valuable, no matter where you live, no matter how you grew up. Your soul in India, your soul in Russia, your soul in China, your soul in Detroit, your soul in Denver, your soul carries the same value as anybody else's on the face of this earth. People might have more value financially than you. People might have more value from a physical standpoint, but nobody has more value than you do as far as your soul goes. My soul and your soul are equally the most valuable things in the world. That's why Jesus was willing to pay such a great price for our soul. It says in Mark chapter 8 in the Bible, verse 36, what does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world but lose his soul? In other words, if a man could gain the whole world, if a man could possess, if a human being could possess the whole world, Jesus said that still pales in comparison to the value of your soul. Your soul has greater value than all the wealth in this world. And as we move forward in our lives, we have to understand how valuable we really are, because the more you value something, the more you'll invest in it, the more you'll protect it, the more you'll care for it. And your soul is the most valuable thing in the world because of four things. There are four things that determine the value of your soul. Number one, it's the design of your soul. You've been made in the image of God. You've been made like God. In Genesis, God tells us, and throughout Scripture, he tells us that we're made in his image. We're the crown of God's creation. So the way you're designed is what makes your soul so valuable. The way a good leather product is designed, the way one of the most expensive cars in the world, the way a Mercedes-Benz is designed makes it valuable. It's designed to endure a greater impact if it's in a crash. It's designed to be more durable. It's designed to last longer. There are things that we might disagree about as far as which car is more valuable or which clothing is more valuable, but its design determines its value, how it's designed, how it's put together. The second thing that determines the value of your soul is the designer of your soul. By the way, I'm teaching this concept and we go so much deeper into it in my book, Soul Cure, that came out earlier this year. So I thought I would just come back to this and teach a little from this. And we talk about the four things that make your soul so valuable. One is the design, and then the second one is the designer. The designer of your soul determines its value. So God didn't make you by accident. He created you on purpose. So not only is the way he created you make you valuable, that's your design, but the person who created you makes you valuable. It's the designer. So we have designer bags, we have Gucci, we have, you know, Versace, we have, gosh, you name it. You can name the designer Ferragamo. There's so many designers whose the designer gives value to that thing. It might be like your body might be made of dust, right? God formed us from the dust of the ground. From dust we came, and from dust we'll return, again, our physical bodies. But God made you. The designer made you. Your designer, the king of the universe, the creator of all of creation, he's your designer. And you're a designer creation. You know that? You're a designer creature. Like some creatures are just kind of some of what God created with trees and plants. Those are just, you know, those are just things that are beautiful, but they're not designed by the designer in the image of the designer, but you are. And the Bible says in this beautiful verse in Psalm 8, verse 4, we are the crown of God's creation. What is a man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you would visit him? You have made him a little lower than Elohim. One translation says a little lower than angels, but God didn't make man lower than angels. He made man lower than Elohim. Elohim is one of God's names. So he made us a little lower than himself, but he made us over angels and over demons. You have authority. You've been crowned with the glory of God. You've been crowned with the honor. He said, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. In verse 6 of that verse, of that chapter says, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Wow, that verse in Psalms chapter 8, it's so powerful. It tells us about our design. It tells us about our designer, and it tells us about our dominion and our authority. The third thing that makes your soul so valuable is its durability. Its durability makes it valuable. How durable is your soul? Think about the things you've bounced back from. Think about the things that you've overcome. Think about the times that you felt like quitting. Think about the times that you felt like giving up. Think about the comebacks that you've had. Think about the setbacks and then the comebacks. And you know, when we fall, we seem to bounce back up. We have this bounce back resilience that we are made. Our soul is never going to, you know, it's never going to die, right? Your physical body is going to die, but your soul is going to live forever because it cannot be destroyed. Why? Because of its design and because of its designer. That's what makes it durable. Your durability, the durability of your soul makes it so valuable. You know, the trees outside, you can burn them and they're gone. The plants, you can eat them, or fruit, you can eat it and it's gone. But your soul remains forever. That's why your soul will live in eternity, for eternity, and that's why Jesus, after Adam and Eve had disconnected from a relationship with God and put into motion spiritual death for all mankind, since that time, God planned to send Jesus to redeem our soul. Why? Because he knows our soul will live forever. It will live forever under the dominion of hell, or it will live forever in the freedom and in the love of God's presence in heaven. But it will live forever because your soul is so durable. You see its durability. You know, whatever you're going through right now, you're going to make it. However many times you've fallen, you're going to get back up. You're designed to get back up. A baby starts walking and falls, and he just bounces right back up. for me and my wife when we raised our children as they were little. The first one, we thought, oh, no, don't ever let her fall. Don't ever let her trip. Don't ever let her, even while she's walking, don't ever let her. We were so careful. We thought she was like a China doll that would just crumble if she ever fell. But by the second, third, or fourth, or fifth kid, you just let them fall and you kind of laugh because you know they're going to get back up. It is kind of funny how protective we were of the first one. And then over time, we realize, oh, it's just blood. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they just fell on the concrete. They cracked their chin open or they cracked their head open. It was no big deal for the third or fourth or fifth child, but for the first one and the second one, it was like all hands on deck if a baby falls. But we learned that a baby is durable. A child is durable. We've learned that our soul is durable. Physically, we're durable, but we're far more durable emotionally, and our soul can endure anything. And it will last forever. That's why God wants to spend eternity with you in heaven, and he wants you to spend eternity with him because he knows your soul is going to last forever. And the only way to redeem your soul is not through your confession. It's not through your apology. It's not even through your turning and trying to turn from sin. It's really the blood of Jesus. You were not purchased with silver or gold. The Bible says that these things perish. 1 Peter chapter 1, for you were not purchased with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. So you see, your design, the design of your soul makes it valuable. The designer, Heavenly Father, makes your soul valuable. The durability of your soul makes it so valuable. And the demand of your soul makes it valuable. What do I mean by the demand of your soul? Well, the Bible says that the devil, Satan, Jesus said, Satan demands to sift you like wheat. Satan wants your soul. Satan wants your soul. Your body, he doesn't care about. It's your soul that Satan wants. Because he knows how valuable it is. He knows your soul is going to last forever, and that's why Satan wants to prevent you from accepting Jesus as your Savior, because he knows your soul is going to live forever, and misery loves company, so Satan is going to spend eternity in hell, so he wants you with him. He wants your family members with him. He knows, and he's placed a demand on your soul, but Jesus has placed a demand on your soul. Your soul is in great demand because it's so rare. What determines something's value is how rare something is. And your soul is rare. And that's why Jesus wants it so. That's why Jesus talks about how valuable and how precious your soul is. He said, consider the lilies of the valley. They neither toil nor they spin. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will put on, because your life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? He said, your heavenly Father feeds all them, clothes all them. Are you not of more value than them? Boy, when you understand your value, it delivers you from worry, because the lilies of the field, he clothes, and the birds of the air, he feeds, and they don't ever worry, but he clothes them. They don't ever worry, and he feeds them. But he says, you are more valuable than they are. If your heavenly Father feeds them and clothes them, are you not, Jesus said, are you not of more value than they? It was a rhetorical question. He was saying, absolutely, you are more valuable than them. So if the birds and the lilies do not worry, Mary, Billy, Bobby, Jane, whoever's watching right now, you do not have to worry anymore, because your Heavenly Father values you more than he values the birds and the lilies of the field, and yet he takes care of them so beautifully. And he is going to take care of you because you are so valuable to him. Boy, when you get a hold of that, it really sets you free. It really makes you happy. And there's something about when Jesus said to look at all the lilies of the field, look at the birds of the air. Besides how valuable you are, he also told us to look at these things because they're beautiful. And if you're going to have a healthy soul, you need to feed your soul a few things. Just like if you're going to have a healthy body, there's certain things on the list of what to feed your body. And to have a healthy soul, there's certain things that are going to feed your soul. And obviously, one of them is God's word, which will feed your soul, God's promises. But we also need to realize how being a believer and being a child of God is so powerful. No wonder, because of the value of your soul, no wonder the great revivalists, and I wanted to get to this, and I was about to skip over this, but I don't want to. The great revivalist John Wesley created what was called Wesleyan bands. They were small groups of believers that got together, and the first thing they asked each other was a backstage question: how is it with your soul? The first thing he would ask each person in these small groups, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? In other words, being a believer required community and fellowship, where we ask each other that question, how is it with your soul? My question to you is, how is it with your soul? Your question to me should be, how is it with my soul? John Wesley, the great revivalist, and I believe we're in a revival of some sort in this season of our lives, in this season of our church, in this season of our connection. I believe we're in something of a revival, and the great revivalist John Wesley asking this question is so critical that we ask this same question: how is it with your soul? Because as your soul goes, so goes the rest of your life. And what Wesley would do is he would have these small groups, and I encourage everyone who's watching, get connected to a small group. If you're not in one right now, get connected to a small group. You can reach us at lifechangerschurch.com/community or lifechangerschurch.com, wherever you're watching, /global. And we can put these links on the screen, and you can see where you can go to become a part of a small group. You could start a small group if you don't have a church home. You could start a small group with our church, Life Changers, anywhere in the world. But here's the thing we want to ask, and here's the three things that Wesley would have the leaders focus on in these small groups. Number one was the evolution of the human soul versus the Reformed or Calvinistic views of human depravity. So Wesley would ask that each one would talk about the evolution of the human soul, that the soul can evolve, the soul can develop, the soul can emerge. The soul starts out broken, and the soul starts out in darkness, but the more light that we give it, the more healing and the more love that we give it, the more the soul can evolve. The more safe that your soul feels in the hands of God, the more you will be open and honest with what's going on in your life, and the more God can heal. He can't heal what you don't yield. What you don't yield to him, he can't heal what you don't yield to him. And so when you yield your soul to him, you can feel safe. You can feel safe because he knows that we have to evolve. He knows we need to evolve. He knows that the human soul doesn't start out renewed or restored. The spirit is born again, but the soul needs time. The soul needs time and the word of God and the right ingredients to evolve. So he would have them focus on the evolution of the human soul. So get in a group that's going to focus on the evolution of your human soul. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. So give yourself permission to evolve. Give other people permission to evolve. Don't judge yourself at this moment in time. We're not meant to judge our lives based on a screenshot of our lives, based on an Instagram picture of our lives. It's a moving picture. It's a movie. It's a film. It's a story, and it's evolving. So they would focus on the evolution of the human soul, the freedom of the human will versus the theology that was taught at that time, and it's taught today too, a false theology of that God determines everything and that you don't have any, that your free will is not powerful. You have the power of your human will, the freedom of your human will, and the power of your human will is something that we need to focus on, because once we realize how free we really are and once we realize how powerful we really are, we'll make good, healthy decisions. And then the third thing that Wesley would have these leaders focus on in their small groups was that the only religion is the religion of love. The only religion is the religion of love manifested in human relationships and outreach. The only religion, it's not Catholicism or Protestantism or any of that, or Buddhism, or it's none of that. The only true religion that he taught and that I believe God teaches is the religion of love. Loving God because he first loved you, loving yourself because he first loved you, and loving others because he first loved you. That all of our love that goes out is the overflow of the love that comes in from God to us. Martin Luther said something very powerful. He said, the spirit is the highest, noblest part of man, which qualifies him to lay hold of incomprehensible, eternal, invisible things, first and foremost, love. So I want you to get a hold of this, that if we would focus on these three things, that the evolution of your human soul, give people room to evolve, do not judge them at this moment in time, and do not judge yourself at this moment in time. Allow the evolution of the human soul to take place through feeding it God's word, feeding it God's beauty, and giving it time. Feeding your soul God's word, the true Jesus, the real Jesus. The Bible is not given to us to beat us up or to condemn us or to point out all our faults and flaws. The old covenant pointed out our flaws. The new covenant redeems us and points out our relationship with God and connects us to a relationship with God through the new covenant, the blood of Jesus. And everything in the Bible is written for you to have a relationship with God and to steer you towards a person, not towards a behavior. When you focus people on their behavior, you're gonna just turn people away. Nobody, or you'll make religious robots of people, and they will be judgmental and harsh towards themselves and towards everybody else. But when the human soul is given room to evolve and to relate to God and to have a personal relationship with God right now, not when you get it all together, right now. I think sometimes we have this Messiah complex that we feel like we have to behave exactly like Jesus. But see, Jesus didn't behave like Jesus because he was programmed to behave that way. Jesus behaved like Jesus because that's what the overflow of his heart overflowed in healing, overflowed in forgiveness, overflowed. He didn't learn some religion and throw that at people and slap people with religion, with a new religion. Everything he did was the overflow of his healthy soul and a soul that was connected to his heavenly Father. And so we have to give ourselves permission not to behave like the Messiah all the time. I'm not saying to give yourself permission to misbehave, but I'm saying, but we're already misbehaving without permission. So we got to like kind of start over and say, let's focus on relationship, not behavior, when it comes to our Christianity. If we would focus on the evolution of your soul, rather than determining everybody's, some people are destined to be saved and some people are destined to be damned. I don't believe that. Some people will reject Jesus, but it's not because God wanted them to. It's not his will that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us. So let's focus on these three things in the next few gatherings of this podcast. The evolution of the human soul, the freedom of the human will, and the only real religion, which is the religion of love. I don't like that word religion, but the word religion is not a bad word. It's just what's associated with religion is what makes it such a bad word. But love is our religion. Love is our faith. Love is our banner. And if we will give ourselves to these things, if you're not in a small group, connect with us and get connected to a small group in your community or start a small group in your community. And we're going to focus on these three things: the evolution of the human soul, the freedom of the human will, and the only real religion is a religion of love. And if you will feed your soul the love of God, the beauty of the real Jesus, if you'll give yourself time, feed yourself God's word. Let me feed you God's word as well every Sunday, but feed on it Monday through Saturday as well. If you will give yourself to focus on these three things, the evolution of the human soul, the freedom of the human will, and the only real religion is the religion of love, the love of God towards us and the love of God from us to others. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for every person connected here right now. I pray that they would give themselves room and give themselves space and give themselves grace. I pray they would give others grace and give others room to grow. Thank you, Father, for giving us such room to evolve, giving us such time, space and time to evolve and to little by little surrender our lives to you. We thank you for that, Heavenly Father, and I'm asking you to awaken every soul, revive every human soul in the sound of my voice. Give them a Holy Spirit revival of your goodness, revival of intimacy with you, revival of relationship with you, revival of simplicity, revival of love. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can serve you, if I can help you any further, please connect with me. And thank you for joining me on Think Like a Champion. Please share this. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And please take a moment as well. I'd like to invite you to give at lifechangerschurch.com/give. I want to encourage you to pay it forward by giving towards this ministry so that we can minister to others. If you would just go to lifechangerschurch.com/give, if you want to get this love, this gospel of grace, this gospel of love to this world, help me do that. Plant your best seed right now, and I want to thank you in advance. There's opportunity on your screen at this time to do that. And I want to thank you again for joining me today. I can't wait to see you next week on Think Like a Champion. And if you don't have a church home where you are being fed and being led, then come and join us in person in the Chicago area or online everywhere at lifechangerschurch.com. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your night, rest of your day, rest of your life in Jesus' name. God bless.